Welcome to the Bearing Fruit Podcast, where we will be discussing the simplicity of Christianity. This is a production of Simply Free Church in Lanark, Illinois. Now here's your host, Pastor Glenn Scott.
Good morning. Last week, I dove into some deeper stuff, just kind of touched on the edge of it, because people want to get in deep once in a while. And what I fear is that we take this deep, complex stuff and use it the wrong way. It seems like we want this knowledge so we can use it against somebody else instead of applying it to our own life. And it always scares me when I run into a Christian that has all kinds of knowledge and they're trying to break somebody. They're trying to, I'm not quite sure the word I'm looking for. They're trying too hard to get somebody to know Jesus. They're trying too hard to save them. So they come up with all this complex stuff so that they appear to have this knowledge. And maybe that means somebody will listen to them. I don't know how this all works for you guys. I'm very cautious about speaking real deep stuff because my prayer and my knowledge doesn't save me. It's the love that saves us. Satan knows more about Scripture than you ever will. You see, the knowledge does not save you. So why don't we dive more into the love? So I tried to take that message of how complex it was and say, okay, here's what you're missing. If you don't have the love, the complex stuff doesn't matter. It's not going to save you. It's the love of your heart that saves you. It's a relationship you have with Christ. So if you don't start with that, why bother going into the other stuff? So after this message last week, we got a call in the afternoon that there was this baby in distress. And, of course, wanted us to pray. And I always say my prayer is not any more powerful than anybody else's. But we did. And at that moment, it hit me how little the complex stuff means. Let's take a child of yours, and it goes into distress. It was going into seizures. And, you know, it always bothers me when their eyes roll back in their head. That scares me. At that moment, it was all about the love of Christ, not about all the complex stuff. So when you really need God, when you really need Christ, all that complex stuff is out the window. Because if you don't have the love, don't have the relationship, it's going to be meaningless. So let's go back to the simple stuff. Maybe some of you got something out of that. I ruffled a few feathers when I started talking about divorce. And, you know, we take this stuff. You get this complex stuff, and you beat people over the head with it. The pastor said this. I knew it. And then you take it off, and you do so much damage. Do you know how sometimes some of you will understand this? You're working on somebody, and you're going slow and gentle and love, and you're going along like this. And somebody comes up to them and starts giving them all this stuff, and it just ruined everything I had been working months on. Don't be one of those people. Sometimes you have to ask yourself who you're trying to impress. Are you really going to take that knowledge and use it to try to impress somebody? Maybe you're going to take it and try to impress God. Here's what Scripture says. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. If you're taking Scripture and you want to know this real deep, complex stuff, I got to ask you why you need to know. Sometimes it's just a desire. I get in this too, but I do it during the week in my own time and with my own people. You should have somebody that is, I'm not real fond of the word mentor, but maybe somebody that you can reach out to and ask some questions. And I actually am kind of proud that I am approachable. I think most of you probably got my cell phone number. In fact, the church phone number is my cell phone. When you text or call, it's me. I might not answer. right? Could be a baby in distress or something. If I don't recognize the number, when God calls you, do you recognize it? We don't always do very well at that. But who are you trying to impress? Okay, so you got this great knowledge of something. Let's take a very complex thing. I touched base on, a couple things. Predestination. I have my opinion on this, right? You're going to take this stuff, and what are you going to do with it? Why do you need to know it so bad? Why do you need to have it in your arsenal? Are you trying to impress somebody else? You're going to whip the scripture out and say, this is what it says, and this is what it means, and you should be doing it. Or you should be not doing it. Are you really trying to win them over for Christ? Because if you didn't approach it with love, that's not going to matter. There's a very effective way to reach people. And sometimes it's just being kind and being gentle and waiting for them to ask you. But we take this complex stuff that we really don't know what we're talking about. I had an uncle, I think he's died now, so I probably won't get in trouble for saying this. He came to my mother once and said, you're going to hell because of something she did. And I thought, you miserable piece of... Right? This happens to us sometimes. What are you going to do with the knowledge you have? And if you don't do it with the love first, you are wasting your time and you are probably going to do damage. You are probably going to make this person step so far back that the people that have been trying to reach them have just lost everything that they had worked so hard for. By being love and kind and gentle, this happens to us. Sometimes you have to learn, you just let it go. It's not your position. You don't have the privilege to do this. They didn't ask you for it. They don't want your opinion. They want to be loved. And then we let the Holy Spirit convict them. That's the source of a good conviction right there. When your own self gets convicted by the Holy Spirit, it's very effective. Matthew 10:14. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. I want to dissect this a little bit, okay? Don't read too much into this. He is actually sending out his disciples, and he's given them this instruction to them that if they won't listen to you, just move on. So let's us take it and use it as a principle. If you're trying something and it doesn't work, leave it alone. Don't try to work so hard at fixing somebody else that you're losing the opportunity on so many other people. You're just working. You're focused on this person. I got to get this person to church. I got to get this person saved. I care so much about him. If you can't do it, brush the dust off your feet and let somebody else have a shot. And maybe you need to go about it in a different way. You can't just keep hammering somebody with scripture all the time and think you have all of this knowledge, and we start to recite chapters and verses, and it makes it appear that we know exactly where this is at, right? Because I'm so knowledgeable. I know exactly where it's at. Book, chapter, verse, right here. You should read what it says because you need Jesus. That went over anybody in this room? Anybody online? Comment on there. Yeah, that person told me I was going to burn in hell if I didn't change my ways. If that worked for you, good for them. Didn't work for me. In fact, it was just the opposite. I thought, who are they to be telling me? And then, of course, I heard this guy say that to my mom, and I wanted nothing to do with Christianity. That just can't be right. What happens is we become overly righteous. We think we are so good, and we are so full of knowledge that we actually become over-wise and over-righteous. And Scripture says that it will destroy yourself. So I want to look at this a little bit. Ecclesiastes 7:16. Do not be overly righteous, over-righteous. Neither be over-wise. Why destroy yourself? That's what happens when we take this knowledge and use it wrong. Instead of applying it to ourselves, we start to apply it to somebody else, and you're right, righteous. You're doing the right thing. They need to be told this, and they're going to burn in hell if I don't tell them this, and I know what I'm talking about, and I'm going to go tell them. Somebody's got to tell them. and you are so over righteous that you lose. You destroy your own reputation. Over wise. I know more than you do, and I'm going to tell you what I know because you need to know it because you're not doing it right. You are so over wise that when it says you will destroy yourself, it destroys your reputation. It destroys your values. Do we all know a Bible thumper? I think most of us do. I hope I'm not that guy. I'd rather stand up here with my dog and just tell you that I don't do it all right, but I got the love of Christ in me, and you know that wins. Maybe somebody will say someday, I wish I have what you have. Now you have the privilege. Now you have the right. Somebody has actually asked you for your opinion because they like the way that you're acting or speaking or doing things. That's effective Christianity. And he even tells his disciples, if you go to a house like this and they won't listen to you and they don't welcome you, that means that they would stay with them. If they don't invite you in to stay, brush your dust off and go on to the next one. Why don't we do that? If they won't take a hint or something like that, you know when somebody's listening to you or not. If they're not, walk away. Let it go. Don't throw your pearls to the hogs. It's the same thing in Matthew 7:6. Don't throw your pearls to the hogs. These are very valuable things that you're just wasting. And we start to focus on something, and we get so focused on something that we are missing the people that actually would listen to us. You become overly righteous and overly wise. So, how are we going to instruct people? I'm not burning through this as fast as I thought I would. You ever seen a student driver got a big sign on top of his car? Her car? Student driver? I hope you're like me. I give them some grace, right? I have patience with them. I know what it's like. I had somebody teach me how to drive, and the instructor who's trying to teach you how to drive is huge, right? I think the girls went off with Kelly once and came back and said, I'm not driving with them again. You know, and they said, Dad, will you take us? Well, yeah, Dad was kind and gentle and, right? How do you instruct people? How are you going to teach somebody how to drive? A student driver would be like a young Christian or somebody that's interested in Christianity. How are you going to teach them? How are you going to be the instructor? So let's talk about student drivers for a minute. Here's what happens to us when we have all kinds of knowledge. Somebody's a student driver and they're trying to parallel park. And you're sitting there, not very patient, maybe giving them some gestures. You don't understand that they're learning because they don't have a sign on their car. You just know that they're not doing it right. And they just keep trying it and they're not doing it right. I was one of those people that was always like, you know, I might as well just get out and do it for them. See, that's not very effective, right? If you're a camper, now you got, Brian, you don't understand this, right? You sit there at the campground and it's so fun to watch people back in. This is the fun for me camping. I sit there and say, I might as well go do that for him. You know, it's not going to work. How are you as an instructor? And do you have any patience at all? Or are you one of those people, you see somebody, they're not doing it right, they don't know how to parallel park, and you get mad at them. You think you know how to do this. I've been doing this for years, and you know what? You better get your butt off the street and go practice someplace else, because this isn't the place to practice. You see, that's not a very effective Christian when it comes to Christianity. You become the instructor during the week, right? So say you're taking a class in school, student, what, once a week? And then the other 6 days, they get mom and dad to show them how to drive. And this is what the instructor says to do, and you're like, ah, you don't have to do that. Here's how to do it. And everything the instructor has tried to show them, you just blew. Dad does it a different way. Mom does it like this. Dad says, I don't even need to know that. That'll never happen. I don't need to know that. Right? How about somebody driving on snow? Maybe a first timer, right? And you see them, they're slipping and sliding. Now, how many times have you seen somebody just spinning their tires and you think, you know, that doesn't work. You're just making it worse. Am I the only one that thinks this way? No, you do, right? Oh, they get stuck at a stop sign because they came to a complete stop and there's a little incline. And of course, somebody like me would tell Abby, just roll through this one, because if you stop, you're never going to get going again. So she goes back to the instructor and says, well, Dad said I should just roll through these. Dad gets an email. Right? Now, I have had to learn how to do these roundabouts. You know how well I do a roundabout? Not well. I don't like them. It's not the way I learned to drive. How can this be better? Well, I guess it is. I don't know, because nobody's asking me. See, they didn't ask for my opinion. So who am I to tell them? So if I see somebody messed up in a roundabout, I say, dude, I get you. I don't know which way to go either. The simple ones that we have around here aren't bad. These 2 and 3 laners. Yeah, you just wait till you get to the city, right? If you're not in the right lane, you're going to get a gesture that I can't do in church. You see, because they want to instruct you. They know more than you, and they have no patience. How did you learn how to drive? Who taught you how to drive, and were they patient or weren't they patient? And Christianity is no different. A student driver is a young Christian, and you know what? They might not have the big sign on the top of their car. They might not have that sign. So you think, right? You're starting to kind of judge now or drawing an opinion that these people do not know what they're doing. And you're going to let them have it. You're going to tell them. You're going to show them. Because you know. You're experienced. You have knowledge on this stuff. And they're not doing it right. And somebody needs to teach them. How's that work for you? It doesn't work well for me. And I'm not sure it works well for you either. Because then you get mad and give it back to them. What if you had a sign on top of your head that said what you were going through? What if people came in here and all had a sign that said, first-time visitor? Would you give them a little, have a little mercy, a little patience? I would hope so. What if it said, new Christian, just learning the Bible. Would you be gentle with them? You know, don't try to tell them everything you know, because you're going to look like that overly righteous Bible thumper, and you're not going to get anywhere with them. In fact, you might do damage. They'll never come back to that place because somebody told them, well, unless you come in, if you're going to come in here, you've got to have a new wardrobe. You know, you're sitting in my seat. Now, we have a lot of fun with that, right? Until you go to another church and sit in somebody's seat. Yeah, you're going to let them have it. How are you at instructing somebody to drive? Are you patient? Are you gentle? How about shifting a manual transmission? Right? People don't even know that anymore, do they? Well, it's not exactly a natural thing, but there's a combination. Pretty soon, I'm sure there's a lot of you in here that are good at it. But when you're trying to teach your kid how to use a stick shift, a manual transmission, don't you wish you had a sign on the back of your car that said, I'm learning how to shift? And get on a little incline. Yes, I know the light's green. Yes, I know I'm not moving. I'll get it figured out in a minute. But no, we have to blow the horn. Right? That's the first place we start, and then we can see him looking in the mirror, right? So we start doing gestures and... Can I do that in church? Means, yeah. Don't you do that? If you do that with a new believer, you are going to do damage. You will never have a chance to probably ever talk to them again. They will never ask you your opinion. They just won't. How did God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit instruct you? Let's say you're the new driver, student driver, and we were all at this place once. How did you want God to instruct you on how to do things? Did you want him to be gentle and have patience with you? Did you want him to correct you gently? Show me don't yell at me. Don't make me go through fiery trials, because that'll make me never ask for your help again. But to be gentle and to be kind. And yet we don't follow that same model. We don't follow the example of Christ. He walked this earth. We've recorded just about every step, everything that he said and done. Well, there's a lot more, of course. But it's for us. And this knowledge you take of this deep stuff is fine. If you just take it and sit at home and say, oh man, I get that now. It shows us who God is, how he started to have a relationship with mankind, his creation, all is good when it's used for us. But when you try to give it to somebody else, now you're going to be the driving instructor. What kind of an instructor do you want? Why don't you become that same way? Everybody wants all this knowledge. Here's one for you. 1 Peter 3:9. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. Now, I want to change some of these words in here. Let's take the word evil and change that to wrongdoing. Okay, so overly righteous people, this is how they do something. They try to tell them, and the people come back at them with something, and now they're really mad. So who's repaying who with wrongs? And you become so right that you're wrong. I know Scripture. I know exactly where it's at. What you're doing and telling me is wrong. Then you're going to retaliate. You're going to actually do a wrong to a wrong by the way you deliver your next words out of your mouth. The next statement you make is huge, because it's actually going to be in retaliation for the wrong they did. You are going to repay evil for evil. Let's change that to wrongs, wrongdoing. Don't repay wrongdoings with wrongdoings. If you see somebody that doesn't know how to parallel park and you think that's wrong, that's such a shame, you're going to repay them with this, and this honking, and the yelling, and the gestures. See, you're actually so right that you become wrong. You act wrong. A righteous person can be so righteous, so right, that they act wrong. That's what it means to be overly righteous or overly wise. And we do it all the time with people. I am trying to reach the lost. And our goal here is to reach the lost and to teach the disciple, the follower. These are the two things Christ tells us to do in the Great Commission. Reach and teach. We got to do a little bit of both. But there's a time and a place for the teaching. Let's do the reaching first. And this is how you teach somebody to drive. You be gentle. You be kind. You have mercy. You hold back what you think they deserve. You have patience with them. You be good. Because if you start to retaliate for something they did wrong with some wrong words that come out of your mouth, you're doing exactly what Peter tells us not to do. And it happens all the time. I guess I'm kind of justifying why I went a little deeper last week and why some of you might have had some questions. It doesn't matter. Because if you don't have the love down, you don't have to worry about all that other stuff. It's not going to do you any good. Knowledge of the Bible does not save your soul. Knowing all the complex answers does not save your soul. A prayer doesn't save your soul. It's a heart issue. How was your heart changed? That's how you need to change somebody else's heart, in that same way. And sometimes it's a matter of just letting the Holy Spirit do it. Brush the dust off your feet. You're not going to win this one. It's not for you. Let somebody else have a shot. But we ruin the whole thing. I got a picture here of this whole stick shift thing once. I think this is genius, right? I have a picture of this sign on the back windshield of a car that says, hey, I'm learning how to drive. There it is. Wouldn't you give this person some patience? Yeah, I know the car's not moving. I'm working on it. Right? Well, a lot of Christians don't know everything about Jesus and what he wants them to do. And can't you just have a little patience? Yes, I know I don't know it all yet. I know I'm probably never going to know it all. But you know, I'm learning. And if you'll just have some patience with me, maybe someday I could get to where you're at. Because you seem to think to know it all. Maybe someday I'll know it all. But right now I'm just working on the love part. Because unless I get this love part down right, unless I can make this car move, it doesn't matter whether I use the blinkers or not. We all hate it when somebody doesn't use the blinkers, and I've seen signs that say that blinky thing on this side means I'm going that way. You know, we got to insult people with stuff like this and change the blinker fluid. You've all seen this stuff, right? You're actually wrong by the way you deliver a message like that. You are becoming overly righteous, and you are overly wise, and it will destroy you. You will get nowhere. You will actually do damage, and you'll get a reputation of being this Bible thumper. Will the worship team get ready? I have to have chili now. I can't take it anymore. I also have Oreo Cadbury eggs. Right? Young girl gave them to me. Now, when a child gives you candy, you eat it. You want me to eat what you bring, just give it to a kid to give it to me. How do you want God to actually instruct you? Do you want him to do it? Or do you want somebody else to do it? Do you want him to be gentle and kind with you? Or do you want to get hammered by somebody else? Now ask yourself if you're that other person. You need to give a message on this because the person that I've been bringing to church is going through this and they need to hear this really, really bad. Now you want me to do it. I'm sticking with the love. I'm sticking with the simplicity because that's what saves you. Not all the other stuff doesn't save you. Just because you're doing one thing right doesn't save you. If you get two things right, it doesn't save you. Unless you understand the love that Christ has for you, what he did for you, none of that stuff matters. You don't even need the Bible until you figure that part out. That's why simplicity wins. Peace, love, and joy, that wins. That helps. And if it doesn't work, let it go. You're not the one for it. You're not the person to reach somebody. Go work on somebody else. You're missing somebody while you're working too hard to get this agenda done that you have. I got this agenda. These people need Jesus. They got to know Jesus, and I'm gonna get them to church, and the pastor's going to hammer him with his red shirt on, and they're going to get it. That doesn't win. That doesn't work. And I'm not going to do it here. We don't do that. I could stand up here and turn this into some theology lesson, tell you all about biblical hermeneutics, right? Who really wants that? One or two of you. It doesn't win people for Christ. It doesn't reach, and it doesn't teach. Because the teaching that you're getting out of there is going to go right out the window because they didn't understand the reach part. Church has a purpose. And it is to reach and teach and meet people's needs. And maybe your need is to go deep into these complex questions. Ask somebody. Come alongside somebody and talk about it. It's a great conversation. I love talking about it. But it's not necessarily for Sunday morning. If that's what you want, this probably isn't the church for you. Now, how many churches will say that? But seriously, if you want to get in a theology, biblical class, maybe we can do one on Tuesday night. No, Wednesday, no. I'm too busy trying to reach the lost that I'll have to put you off for a while. Because that's what saves souls. That's what stops people from sinning. Gentle love. Just the way you want to be treated as well. Remember these things. Brush the dust off. Have patience and mercy. Let the Holy Spirit convict somebody. God can work on them better than you can. All we do is plant seeds. We might do a little watering. We might do a little cultivating here and there. But basically, your job is to plant seeds. And we don't do it with beating people over the head with the Bible. That is actually just the opposite. That'll tear up a seed that somebody else planted. That'll tear up a seed that somebody else is trying to water. That'll tear up a seed that somebody is trying to cultivate and get the weeds around from it. You're going to wreck it. Please, just be gentle. Understand the love and love one another. It doesn't mean you have to like them. It means you have to treat them right. When Scripture says, I desire mercy more than sacrifice, you have to learn what this means. In fact, it says, go and learn what this means. Mercy is how you treat other people. Sacrifice is how you treat God. He would rather you treat people right than treat Him better. That's pretty simple stuff. All we need to do is love. Let God have it. If you can't do it, let God have it and just simply sit back and say, God, this battle belongs to you. Second letter to the Church of Corinth, first chapter, verse 4. See, I pretend like I know where that's at. I could be wrong because I don't really know. Says that however God comforted you, you are to comfort others with that same comfort that you received from Him. Okay, this is something that you need to know and do. We go through a lot of things. We have all been through trials and tests and everything, and it's to equip us for something. What if you went through that so that you could equip one of your children, maybe a spouse, somebody that you can comfort because they're about to go through it, and God needs somebody that can reach them? How did you get comforted when you were going through something? Now, the person that you see trying to parallel park may be a new Christian just walking into the church. And it'd be nice if everybody had a sign over their head, right? That said what they were going through. What if somebody walked in, they had a sign over their head that says, going through a divorce? Would you have some patience with them? Or would you hammer them with the Bible? What if it said financial trouble? What if it said, I just lost a child? What if it said, I just lost a spouse? What if it said, I'm dealing with dementia? Shall I keep going? Wouldn't you have mercy on them? So when you approach somebody and you're going to try to correct them, maybe find out how they need to be comforted first. That would be a good goal, is to find out what they're going through, because we don't all have signs. But they're probably going through something. Why can't you understand to try to figure out who they are, where they're at, what they're going through, and comfort them with that same kind of love and comfort that you got when you were going through that? That's how Christ works. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Not walking up to them and say, do you know in the Scripture right here it says you better start doing or you're going to hell? That doesn't work. It doesn't for me, and I don't think it did for any of you guys. So why do we do it? Stop doing it. Comfort others with the exact same way you got comforted. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I hope I'm wrong, because I'd rather sit back and say, I didn't know that. Can you do that? Can you say, I don't know everything, but here's how I got through something? Because that's what it's all about. That's Christianity. And then think about what your sign says right now, because you could be wearing one. What are you going through? Who do you need to talk to? Maybe you should reach out, because I'm trying to instruct people to be gentle with you. If you need some help of some sort, please reach out. Find a mentor. Find somebody that can be kind and gentle. And if they start thumping you with the Bible, come and see me, because I'll do it. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your gentleness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for never giving up on us. Thank you for being so good to me. Thank you for waiting for me. Thank you for letting me work through this in my own way, in my own time. I'm so grateful that you waited, because if you would have let me have it in your wrath, you would have reduced me to nothing. God, thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.